जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय हरि नाम संकीर्तन की ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय हरे कृष्ण. वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 8 टाइटल्ड प्रेयर्स बाय क्वीन कुंती टेक्स्ट नंबर 14. अंतस्थः सर्वभूतानां आत्मा योगेश्वरो हरिः स्वमायया वृणोद्गर्भम् वैराट्या कुरुतन्तवे अंतस्थ सर्वभूतानां आत्मा योगेश्वरो हरिः स्वमायया वृणोद्गर्भम् वैराट्या कुरुतन्तवे अंतस्थ सर्वभूतानां आत्मा योगेश्वरो हरिः स्वमायया वृणोद्गर्भम् वैराट्या कुरुतन्तवे अंतस्थः सर्वभूतानां आत्मा योगेश्वरो हरि स्वमायया वृणोद्गर्भम् वैराट्या कुरुतन्तवे अंतस्थ सर्वभूतानां आत्मा योगेश्वरो हरि स्वमायया वृणोद्गर्भम् वैराट्या कुरुतन्तवे माताजी अंतस्थः सर्वभूतानां आत्मा योगेश्वरो हरि Swamayaya vrinod garbham Ratya kurutantave. We'll check word to word translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Antastaha, being within, sarva, all, bhutanam, of the living beings, atma, soul, yoga ishvaraha, the Lord of all mysticism, harihi, the Supreme Lord, swamayaya, by the personal energy, avrinod, covered, garbham, embryo, vairatya, of uttara, kurutantave, for the progeny of Maharaj Kuru. Translation. The Lord of Supreme Mysticism, Sri Krishna, resides within everyone's heart as the Paramatma. As such, just to protect the progeny of the Kuru dynasty, He covered the embryo of Uttara by His personal energy. Purport. The Lord of Supreme Mysticism can simultaneously reside within everyone's heart or even within the atoms by His Paramatma feature, His plenary portion. Therefore, from within the body of Uttara, He covered the embryo to save Maharaj Parikshit and protect the progeny of Maharaj Kuru, of whom King Pandu was also a descendant. Both the sons of Dhritarashtra and those of Pandu belong to the same dynasty of Maharaj Kuru. Therefore, both of them were generally known as Kurus. But when there was differences between the two families, the sons of Dhritarashtra were known as Kurus, whereas the sons of Pandu were known as Pandavas. Since the sons and grandsons of Dhritarashtra were all killed in the battle of Kurukshetra, the last son of the dynasty is designated as the son of the Kurus. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamahiyam Dadati Swa Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guruho Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in today's shloka described that the Supreme Lord, He expanded Swamayaya by His personal energy. He protected Kuru Tantave, He protected Parikshit Maharaj. And similarly, today is a very supremely auspicious day. Today is the disappearance day of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada. And that's why we will discuss about His disappearance in relation to today's shloka. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, the pioneer of preaching, He had prayed to the Supreme Lord that I would like to have a ray of Vishnu. Please give me a son who can take forward my mission. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, at that time known as Bimal Prasad, appeared in this world. So according to Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Bimal Prasad, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, is the ray of Vishnu. And in today's shloka also it is described that the Supreme Lord, by his own personal potency, he covered the living entity, Parikshit Maharaj, and protected. Similarly, we are so blessed to have the vision of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, who is a representation of the personal, internal energy of the Supreme Lord. And in this way, he has protected all of us. So we'll have a discussion on how to understand the greatness of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. One time there was a discussion between death and life. And death asked life, why is it that people are afraid of me? And why is it that people are always hopeful about you? And life answered, because I am a sweet lie and you are a harsh truth. So death is something that is truth, but still it is harsh for us because it cuts down all our plans. And life is always giving us false hopes. Till today I was not in control. Till today somehow I was not able to accomplish what I wanted to accomplish. But tomorrow things are going to change. Tomorrow I am going to be in control of my life. Tomorrow I will achieve what I want. So similarly, when a acharya, he appears in this world and he speaks the truth, sometimes the truth is seen as a disruption. Things are going smoothly. The temples are full. The holy places are full. So many yajnas and so many pujas are going on. So what is the problem? But when the acharya comes, then acharya with his laser sharp vision can understand that even amongst the religious practices going on, even amongst the so many yajnas going on, even amongst the so many pujas going on, even amongst the so many tirthas being full of people, how many of them are actually going with the original purpose of yajna? How many of them are going with the original purpose of puja? How many of them are going there? Yat tirtha buddhi salilena karhichit. That the purpose of going to the holy place is not just to take a ceremonious ritualistic bath in the water. But the purpose of the holy place is to go there and hear from the sadhus. So if that purpose is not there, although externally everything seems to be going on, and we may sometimes get fooled into thinking life is religious. But what is the original purpose of religion? The purpose of religion is actually to get free from the bondage, to have a relationship with the Supreme Lord. And in relationship with the Supreme Lord, to cut off Sneha Pasham Imam Chindi Gridam Pandushu Vrishnishu. Kunti Devi is praying. This is 8th chapter. So Kunti Devi is saying, my dear Lord, please let me develop more and more affection to you, and on the basis of that affection to you, Sneha Pasham Imam Chindi, let my bonds of material affection to my family members, on my maternal side, on my family side, let them get destroyed. So this is the original purpose of religion. But today, often we see that religion is being used for actually degradation. So many selfish things are offered. One time, Shri Kishori Mohan Bhakta Bandhav, he was the headmaster of Bhakti Vinod Thakur Institute in Mayapur. One time he approached Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati and he asked him, we see that many people are practicing religion. Many people are practicing externally, but still we don't see a transformation in them. What is the reason? And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati answered, when somebody eats, but there are worms in his intestine, then although he's eating so much, but he does not get nourished. Similarly, in the normal sense, there are worms of selfishness and secret bad behavior. So even when we come to religion, even when we apparently show that we want to have a relationship with the Supreme Lord, there is swartha there. Why do I want to worship the Supreme Lord? Because he can do a lot of things for me. So Krishna's hands and Arjuna's head. Is that a Gita? No, it is Krishna's head, Krishna's plans, and Arjuna's hands. So actually, Gopinath should plan and we should execute. But many times we plan and we expect Gopinath to execute. So he said, whenever there are worms of intestinal worms of swartha and secret bad behavior, then even though we may be practicing religion, even though we may practice sometimes Vaishnavism, but it will not have its effect. So when somebody speaks like this, even about God consciousness, when somebody speaks like this, apparently it is seen as a disruption. This Acharya, he's speaking too harsh. There is no need to speak so harsh. And Srila Prabhupada, in one of his private conversations, he revealed, even some of my own God brothers felt that my Guru Maharaj was too heavy. But what is the meaning of the word Guru? The literal meaning of the word Guru is heavy. Why is the spiritual master, the guide, called Guru? The word literally, Guru, heavy. Guru Naam Api Lagu Naam Cha. Shukracharya mentions the 8th canto that Nama Sankirtanam Tava. When somebody chants the holy names, you may have a big fault or you may have a small fault. Guru Niche Lagu Niche, he says. So Guru means big or Guru means heavy. So one understanding of the word Guru, one understanding of the word spiritual master. Why spiritual master is called Guru is that you keep all the opinions of the whole world on one side of the weighing scale, just like we have a Tula Bhar here. On one side, you keep all the opinions of everyone in the whole world on one side. And on the other side, you keep the opinion of your spiritual master. And the opinion of the spiritual master is heavier. Another understanding of the word Guru is, because he is so heavy, even though you may suggest to him that actually your understanding is not practical understanding. You are saying something, but it is very ideal, it is very high. Just look at the world around. Look at the changing scenario. We use these words. Changing scenario, the world has changed, modernism has set in, 21st century has come in. I think you need to change your opinion, my dear Guru Maharaj. Please, change your opinion, because it is too much, it is too high. So the word Guru means he's heavy. It means heavy means he's unshakable. He sits at one place with his opinions, which are representative of the Guru Shishya Parampara, and however much we may try to plead, and however much we may try to push the spiritual master into accepting our opinion as the most practical, doable opinion, but the heaviness of the spiritual master will not allow him to move. And in fact, if we are really submissive, then we get moved from our ever-changing, ever-moving opinions. And when we change from our ever-changing opinions, we actually become still. We actually become sthira. So, although people may feel that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was a disruptive person, you know, he disrupted so many things. Why is he not just speaking a few good words about what is happening and then glorifying everyone? So, in his own words, there is a very beautiful quote. This is his words, quote, "Our work is not reformation, but re-establishment. The eternal truth that Lord Chaitanya taught is not a proper subject for reform. Our service is to re-establish his forgotten teachings by taking Mahaprabhu's servants' shoes on our heads. Our duty is to save Gaudiya Vaishnava Dharma from the unauthorized stains that foolish persons have dumped on it." So one time we had gone to Govardhan Eco Village and it was said to be a retreat. So that time I remember Gaurang Prabhu had mentioned, what is the meaning of the word retreat? The general understanding of the word retreat. Chalo, retreat pe chalte hain. So it means it seems like a picnic or it seems like a holiday. You know, take some time off. The retreat word in an English perspective has a different meaning also. When an army is advancing, then sometimes there is a call from high command saying that you have advanced too much into dangerous territory. Two armies are fighting and the other one army will go too much ahead. And sometimes people on the ground may not understand that we have gone too much into army enemy territory and now we are being surrounded by enemies on all sides. So sometimes what happens is somebody who is watching from the sky will say, retreat, come back, retreat. So retreat is in today's term seen as a holiday, but retreat also means coming back, taking steps back. So he had mentioned retreat means that when we are sometimes fighting with Maya,
And we get exhausted. And sometimes we can take a retreat. We can come back, recharge ourselves, chant more, hear more, serve more, spend time with equals more. And then, again armed, again attack, again go back. But at that time, probably retreat is very important. So similarly, what is the meaning of the word revolution? The first thing that comes to our mind is revolution. Revolution means kranti. Revolution means something that is going to be turned topsy-turvy now. Things are going smooth. Arre dekho, revolution ho gaya. Revolution ho gaya matlab, what was there till yesterday is now no longer there. You know, there is a change. Is it not? What is another meaning of the word revolution? Typical. The sun stays and, you know, there is a revolution. Is it not? Revolution means going around. Or we could say, you know, a globe. The earth globe, sometimes somebody's desk has that earth. I said, now I'll show you. So that's rotation. But, you know, the revolution means going around a full circle. Is it not? So if you combine these two points, revolution means that things turned. Till today there was status quo. Till yesterday there was something going smoothly and now there's a revolution. But revolution, another meaning is going around. So if you combine these two meanings, what it means is actually what we thought is normal was not normal. The original purpose of human form of life is to serve Krishna. The original purpose of the tongue is to vibrate the holy names. Eko mantrastasya namaniyani karmapi ekam tasya devasya seva. Actually, there is only one activity to be done. What is that? To serve Krishna. There is only one mantra actually. What is that? His holy names. Ekam shastram devaki putra gitam. Actually, one scripture, that is Krishna's message. But then over a period of time, in the name of religion, things slowly degrade. So there is an example given that if you put a frog in hot water, let's say 50 degrees centigrade water, the frog jumps into the water and immediately gets scalded. The hotness of the water. So he immediately jumps out. This is too much. Now you put the frog in normal tap water, a vessel, and start heating it slowly. So now temperature slowly rises. This time the frog does not jump out. Because when changes, you know, in one sense it is harmful to the frog. The heat in the water is going to be harmful to the frog. But when you do it slowly, when you do it super slowly, when you do it almost unnoticeably, yes, 1 degree temperature rise per 30 minutes. Dheere, 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 dheere. If you increase the temperature, actually it is mentioned, I never tried it, but actually the frog gets cooked. The frog does not even understand that this water is unsuitable for me. So when changes are made suddenly, there is a tendency to reject it. But when changes are made in a very slow way, you don't even understand changes have happened. And this is exactly how Maya Devi works on us. Maya Devi has slowly started degrading the original purpose of human form of life. And we don't even understand. Bole sab kuch achha chal raha tha Prabhuji. Malum nahi bhakti siddhant Saraswati jaise acharya aate hain aur beech mein phad phad phad. You know, they speak so strongly. This is wrong. That is wrong. This is not proper. This is not proper. This is a disruption. No, this is a revolution. What revolution? Not the typical understanding of revolution that he disturbed everything. It is that actually things were at this point of time, at this point, and now over a period of time, things went to another level. You know, we became vimukh instead of becoming unmukh. So now he has caused a revolution. Revolution means he brought the whole system in a circle back to the original spot now. So again he's stressing, nothing but pure service. So very beautiful quote. We'll hear from him. Pure devotees do not chant the Lord's names to counteract sinful reaction, accumulate piety, attain heavenly pleasures, to mitigate famine or devastating epidemics, or to mitigate social unrest, or to mitigate disease or civil strife, or to obtain wealth or an earthly kingdom. So if you check these 10 points, these are his words. Actually, this is exactly what all the pujas are done for. This is exactly why typically the yajnas are done for. This is exactly why people visit the holy places. So very clear. Since the Lord is Supreme Personality of Godhead, to ask Him to fulfill our wishes is to treat Him as our servant. This is an offense. Therefore, calling the Lord's names for any reason other than to attain His devotional service is useless. So, when I read this quote while preparing for this class, I just thought I should share with you that There are many other explanations of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra given. There is one explanation by Gopal Guru Goswami. There are other explanations also. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has also given an explanation of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And when I read this, what came out is, calling the Lord's names for any reason other than to attain His devotional service is useless. So some acharyas, you know, they give an esoteric understanding of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra also. They say, Hare is Radharani, Krishna is Krishna. So, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So they say actually that Hare Krishna Mahamantra is Sambhog and Vipralamba. So Hare Krishna means we are acting like Vibhishan, bringing Sita Devi and Ramchandra together. So Hare Krishna, so very nice, bringing Radha and Krishna together. Then you say Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So Krishna Krishna means now Krishna is alone, Radharani is alone, Hare Hare. So now, you know, separation has happened. Then again, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So they are saying this Hare Krishna Mahamantra is actually Sambhog Vipralamba. Sambhog Vipralamba. Very esoteric understanding. Now what is Srila Prabhupada's understanding? Oh my dear Radharani, oh my dear Lord Krishna, please engage me in your service. Simple understanding. So there are so many higher esoteric understandings of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, but Prabhupada has given, please ask for devotional service. And what is Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati saying here? Calling the Lord's names for any reason other than to attain His devotional service. Can you see the connection? Can you see how Saraswat, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he called himself as a Saraswat. This mantra, Namo Vishnu Padaya, is composed by him. So he's saying, I am a Saraswat. I am a representative of my spiritual master Saraswati Thakur. And you see how his explanation of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra does not touch on any of the esoteric aspects. He's basically following his spiritual master. The meaning of the Hare Krishna Mantra is a prayer to attain devotional service of the Lord. No other reason. And that's the only explanation that Srila Prabhupada gave of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. It's very interesting. So, in one of the shlokas, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, this is Antya Leela, chapter number 3, and shloka number, I think, 149 or something. But here it is description of Lord Nityananda. So, here it is mentioned, Prema Pracharana Ara Pashanda Dalan Dui Karye Avadhuta Karena Brahman. Many times we hear about Lord Nityananda's pastimes that Lord Nityananda was very merciful. But here Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is saying Prema Pracharan. Prabhu kahe Nityananda Jao Gauda Deshe Anargala Prema Bhakti Kariha Prakashe. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling Nityananda Prabhu in Puri, go to Gauda Desh. I cannot go to Gauda Desh. You go. Anargala Prema Bhakti Kariha Prakashe. Without restriction you preach Prema Bhakti. So we feel Nityananda Prabhu is only into Prema Bhakti. But here Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Prema Pracharana are Pashanda Dalan. Pashanda means atheist. So the translation Prabhupada makes is to subdue and defeat the atheist. Ei dui karye avdhuta karena brahman. Avdhut, Nityananda Prabhu is traveling all over. Why is he traveling? Prema Pracharana and Pashanda Dalan. And this is, if you see the purport, then Prabhupada mentions, Lord Krishna also mentions, Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam. And he says, actually anybody who is in the Guru Shishya Parampara of Nityananda Prabhu, sincerely, they also do these two things. And then Srila Prabhupada writes, any sincere follower of Lord Nityananda will do this. What is that? Prema Pracharan, but only not talking the sweet, sweet things of Radha Krishna pastimes. Pashanda Dalan, you have to destroy the atheistic principles. So you see how Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he is a very amazing, very loyal follower of Lord Nityananda Prabhu and of Lord Krishna. And if you see, after this mass preaching, after Lord Nityananda, it was done by Srinivas Acharya, Shamanand Pandit and Narottam Das Thakur. And after them, roughly 200 or 250 years, there was a lull in mass preaching. And it is only somebody like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, in something like 18 years of preaching, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati established 60, around 60 to 64 Gaudiya Mats. And this was in an era when the airplanes were not available, when those fast cars, comfortable conveyances were not available. In 18 years, to establish 60 to 64 Gaudiya Mats is not so empowered. Sri Gaura Karuna Shakti. And before he did this, he also took a vow, Shata Koti Nama Japa. So 1 billion names of the Lord. So roughly it took him 8 or 9 years. So 8 or 9 years, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, all that he is doing is to chant the holy names, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, कृष्ण शक्ति विना न है तार प्रवर्तन. सो बिकॉज ही वॉन्टेड टू प्रीच बट फर्स्ट ही वॉन्टेड कृष्ण शक्ति. सो फर्स्ट ही प्यूरिफाइड हिमसेल्फ विद द होली नेम्स एंड देन ही सेट आउट. सो श्रील भक्ति रक्षक श्रीधर महाराज आफ्टर द डिसअपीयरेंस ऑफ श्रील भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ही कंपोज्ड वन पोएम. ही कंपोज्ड वन श्लोक. ही हैज ऑल्सो कंपोज्ड ग्लोरिफिकेशन पोएम्स. बट वेन ही रोट दिस श्लोक देन ही मेन्शन दिस ऑल फ्रॉम द बुक श्रील भक्ति सिद्धांत वैभव. सो ही मेन्शन इफ श्रील भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती वुड हैव बीन हियर देन ही वुड हैव सेड श्रीधर महाराज कैप्चर्ड मी इन ए पोएटिक प्रिजन. दिस इज हिज ओन ओपिनियन. सो ही इज सेइंग दैट ही हैज डिस्क्राइब श्रील भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती इन वन श्लोक. सो वॉट इज द श्लोक एंड देन वील स्पीक ऑन दैट. सो ही इज सेइंग निखिल भुवन माया छिन्न विछिन्न कर्त्री विबूध बहुल मृग्या मुक्ति मोहांत दात्री शिथिलित विधि रागाराध्य राधेश धानी विलसतु हृदि नित्यम भक्ति सिद्धांत वाणी. विल रीड द ट्रांसलेशन देन विल एक्सप्लेन. विथ हिज फर्स्ट स्टेप ही कट टू पीसेस द एंटायर प्लेन ऑफ एक्सप्लॉयटेशन एंड विथ हिज सेकेंड स्टेप ही क्रश्ड स्पेक्युलेशन ऑफ स्कॉलर्स ऑफ सैल्वेशन एंड लिबरेशन. With his third step, he softened Vaidhi Bhakti with a touch of divine love, Raga Marga. Taking us beyond Vaikuntha, he has introduced us to the highest worship of Sri Sri Radha Govinda. So three primary contributions Srila Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj is mentioning. First he is saying, he fought against misconceptions of God. And this also includes atheism, which is absence of God. So there is also one misconception. We'll speak a little bit about that. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said, actually every other philosophy other than true Vaishnavism is a mixture of illusion and truth. At one place he said, everything, his words, there is nothing in this world but opposition to Srimad Bhagavatam. Pure, selfless, continuous service. One of his primary contributions in this field was that he had a strong faith in giving Sambandha Gyan. This is also something that he inherited from his father. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, if you see, has written so many books. Dashamula Tattva, Who Are We, and 10 uncompromising strong truths about Vedic culture. So from where did he get this? He has got it from the Vedic literature. But then he has condensed 10 truths. So who am I? Who is the Jiva? Who is the living? Who is the Supreme Lord? What is material nature? What is the relationship between material nature and the Lord? What is the relationship between material nature and the Jiva? And so on. Where to get truth? Amnaya. The Vedas, they are the self-explanatory axiomatic truths. No arguments. So in this way he has... So basically it is Sambandha Gyan. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati also stressed a lot on Sambandha Gyan that without Sambandha Gyan, basically, if we don't have a proper understanding of who is the deity whom we are worshipping, then we might come to the deity and we might ask something that we are trained to ask for. So which is the most widely spread religion in this world? Is it Buddhism? Is it Jainism? So some people are saying, by some numbers, they are saying this is the biggest religion. So I'm proposing something. Actually, the biggest religion is materialism. It's not Buddhism, it's not Jainism. Because even when we are externally Buddhist, are we following Buddhism? Ahimsa Paramo Dharma is not being followed by majority of the Buddhists. So Buddhism, we are professing to be Buddhists, but we may not follow the core principle. Lord Buddha descended in this world to stop animals. Sada Hridaya Darshita Pashughatam Nindasi Yagya Vider Ahaha Shruti Jatam. So Shruti are saying that there should be yagya vidhi, but he is saying sada ridaya darshita pashughatam. Sadaya. Out of daya he descended. The primary teaching of Lord Buddha is to stop animal killing, but it's very rarely followed. Of course, there are some sincere Buddhists who are following that. And Srila Prabhupada would mention, in Christianity, first thing is, thou shalt not kill. And if you see the states in India, which have primarily this religion, then we see this is the highest states where non-vegetarian, I will not call it food, substances are consumed. So if you check out, on paper the religions are increasing. But actually the real religion that is increasing is materialism. Outside I am a Christian, but inside materialism. Outside I am a Buddhist, but inside materialism. Is it not? So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is saying, in Vaishnavism, Buddhism, Jainism, we have to check what are the core principles of Vaishnavism. And although we may be Vaishnavas, but we have to really understand, are we becoming members of that religion which is the fastest growing religion? Materialism. So anything other than service to Krishna, unmotivated, uninterrupted service to Krishna, is basically using Krishna as a servant for us. And in doing that, he faced many challenges. There are some upper sampradayas. They asked some questions to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. They asked, why do you wear a coat? Why do you wear expensive shoes? You ride in a car and you use luxuries like the electric fan and you mix with the materialists and you even have a bodyguard. Is this the sign of a Vaishnava? This is not Vaishnava behavior, and no previous great Vaishnava did these things. And sometimes in the absence of strong opposition to him, when they could not shake him because his guru is heavy, he cannot be moved, they spread rumors about Gaudiya Math. They spread that these sannyasis actually hate grihasthas. That's why, just see how many are in saffron and just see how many sannyasi disciples he has. It means he hates grihasthas. And sometimes they spread rumors that they kidnap children also. So don't go to their mutt. Don't go close to the Gaudiya Math. And they spread rumors that actually they don't respect Lord Nityanand Prabhu and they also don't respect Tulsi Devi. Why did they spread rumors that they don't respect Nityanand Prabhu? Because in those days, if you see the introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada also mentions this. In those days, there is something called as Jati Gosai. Jati Gosai means somebody in the seminal succession, the family members. So those who are in the line of Nityanand Prabhu, by family, they were claiming that we are the only people who can initiate. To act as initiating guru is the prerogative only of Nityananda Vamsha. And anybody else, however pure you may be, however committed you may be, loyal you may be, but just because you don't have the blood of Lord Nityananda in your body, you cannot act as an initiating guru. So Srila Prabhupada mentions this, and he mentions there in the introduction of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is Srila Bhakti Siddhan Saraswati who was strongly opposing against this, and he actually changed that system. That it is not based on Janma, it is based on Guna and Karma. Just like what Krishna said in the Gita. So, he mentions, in one place Srila Bhakti Siddhan Saraswati mentions, that actually to preserve truth, you will have to instruct. You will have to speak about it. And to speak about it and to instruct, you have to take a higher seat of a guru. And guru means to accept respect. So should we preserve? Yes. But to preserve, you have to speak. And you have to say, this is not good. This is not right. You have to do this. This you should not do. This you should do. So instruction. And for instruction, it means you are accepting a higher position than that Vaishnava. So what happened to Trinadapi Sunichena? What happened to Amanina Manadena? Actually, if you read Chaitanya Bhagavat, then this is one of the questions that Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya asked to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes as a sannyasi, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya asked him, this is not in CC, this is in Chaitanya Bhagavat. He says, you are a Vaishnava, right? Yes, the tilak is Vaishnava. How come you accept sannyas? Because sannyas means sannyasi walks and everyone offers obeisances. So this is not Amanina Manadena. This is opposite of Amanina Manadena. So how did you do this? This is a question asked because he is an expert in all the philosophies. So similarly, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is saying, I am faced with a dilemma. My dilemma is, I cannot see the degradation happening and I have to speak the truth. I have to instruct. This is wrong. And for that, I am accepting the post of a guru. But the post of a guru and the mood of a Vaishnava are contradictory. How can the Vaishnava instruct? How can the Vaishnava take a higher position? So he said, I am doing this not in the role of a guru, but in the mood of representing the original guru. I am a representation of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I am representing Lord Krishna. In one conversation, he was asked, if we have the original Jagat Guru, yes, some great personality is already there, why do we need a Diksha Guru? So this is also a topic that is sometimes discussed. Is there need of a Diksha Guru? And what is the reply that he gave? Very nice reply, he said. He said, Just like we are sitting here in Navadvip. And in Navadvip, the Ganga river is flowing. But where does the Ganga river originate from? It originates in the Himalayas. He says, but it is difficult for me to go there to the Himalayas and climb the Himalayas. It's not possible for everyone. So similarly, he says, actually, the sweet Ganges water of devotional service originates from Lord Krishna's lotus feet. But I don't have access to that. It is difficult for me. So, the Guru Shishya Parampara brings Ganga from the Himalayas to Navadvip. So, the original spiritual master, the Jagat Guru, or Lord Krishna, who are the origins of the pure principles of devotional service, they are like the origin of Ganga. But we are sitting in Navadvip, on the plains, near the sea. And it's very difficult to go against the flow and very difficult to go to the Himalayas and climb the mountains and severe cold weather and all. So sitting here, the river is coming to me and giving me that water. Similarly, the Guru Shishya Param comes to me. So then he mentioned, the initiating spiritual master is also Jagat Guru, not in his own right. The initiating spiritual master is also Jagat Guru because he's purely representing the original Jagat Guru. Krishna Mande Jagat Guru. So in this way, he not only accepted the position of an Acharya, he not only accepted the position of a Guru, but also explained, it is my seva to be a guru, to speak the truth. Otherwise, things will slowly degrade and they have already degraded. Very interesting understanding in this mood he gave. That one time he was asked, in the spiritual world, is there any unpleasantness? Is there anything wrong? Is there anything that is unpleasant in the spiritual world? So he mentioned that, these are his words, that personalities like Kamsa are present in the spiritual world, but they are totally unconscious. They are like an idol. They are like a stone idol. They are present there. So what does it mean? Then he explained. Just like he said, in the material world, those who are purely in material consciousness, they don't see any spirit. So those who are purely focused on matter, they cannot see. They say life comes from chemicals. Life comes from combination. So in the material world, those who are deeply in material vision, they cannot see any spirit. Similarly, he said, in the spiritual world, those who are in pure spiritual understanding, they don't see any matter. So there is no unpleasantness in the spiritual world. In his words, there is no abomination or unpleasantness in the spiritual world. Everything is Sat, Chit and Ananda. So to have this kind of clarity, you need to really be on a different platform. When he was asked, because we are discussing about the first point of atheism and concoctions, he mentioned that there are two kinds of oppositions to the Srimad Bhagavatam. One is open and one is covered. So he said, personalities like Raja Ram Mohan Roy and Dayanand Saraswati, they are presenting open opposition to the Srimad Bhagavatam. And the Banaras School of Philosophy, Mayavad, is like a covered opposition to Srimad Bhagavatam. And the covered opposition to Srimad Bhagavatam is more dangerous than the open opposition to Srimad Bhagavatam. It sounds Vedic. They're quoting from Aham Brahmasmi, Tattvam Asi, but it's a manipulation. When he was asked, what is your ideas about liberation? So he says, liberation basically means, let me become happy and let others suffer. I want to get out of this suffering and let others suffer. Whereas Prahlad Maharaj is giving us an antithesis of a Prayana Deva Munayo Swavimukti Kama. Prahlad Maharaj is saying, Prayana Munis, Munaya, Swavimukti Kama, most of the sadhus, most of the sages are interested in only on their emancipation, their freedom from distress. Whereas he said, Prahlad Maharaj said, till the time there is at least one fool in this world who is not your devotee, I would like to stay here and I would like to preach to them. I would like to tell them. Swat Mahamrita, I would like to speak the glories of your Mahima. The second contribution of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So first one was destroying atheism to give proper Sambandha Gyan and also to give proper Abhideya Gyan. So without an institution, Abhideya won't happen. Without an institution, Sambandha will happen because books will be distributed. But after you read the books, if you want to practice that, then you need a place where you can come and practice what you have read, which means Abhideya. So anybody who gives us an institution basically gives us a process for implementing Sambandha, which is Abhideya. So Bhakti Vinod Thakur gave Sambandha Gyan and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati has given us a facility through his worthy disciple to practice Abhideya. So that was his first contribution. Second, according to Srila Bhakti Raksha Sridhar Maharajas, he stopped, first he detected and stopped all the malpractices, even amongst followers of Radha Krishna. So many upper sampradayas had introduced their own concocted principles, and he stopped. So, Appa Siddhanta Dhvanta Harine, in the Pranam Mantra of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, it is that within Vaishnavism, he stopped all the malpractices. And he established all that he spoke on the basis of Shastra. It was never outside Shastra. So, Shruti, Smruti, Puranadi, Pancharatri ki Vidhim Vina, Aikanti ki Harer Bhakti Utpata Yaiva Kalpate. So even if you are doing Hari Bhakti, but if it is not based on Shastras, then that is Apasampradaya, Sahajiya, Prakrita Sahajiya. There are followers for Radha Krishna. Their temples have Radha Krishna. But then what are the principles being taught? They are contradictory to the pure Srimad Bhagavatam principles. So he established based on Shastra. He established by his own behavior that the essence of saintliness was not mere detachment. Even I can accept this, that before coming to International Society for Krishna Consciousness, what did a sadhu mean? Sadhu means he does not wear chappals, he does not sleep on a bed. Sadhu means simple life, basically detachment. Emphasis on, overemphasis on detachment. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, by his own presentation, by his precept and by his example, he proved how the essence of saintliness was not mere detachment, but commitment to the propagation of service to the Absolute Truth. So, one of his famous quotes is, he says, Karmavalambakam kechit, kechit jnanavalambakam, aham tu haridasanam, padatranam avalambakam. So, he's saying, jnanavalambakam kechit, some people, kechit, they are dependent on jnana marga. They want to read and that's how they want to advance. Kechit karmavalambakam. And some people feel by doing pious activities we can advance. Aham tu Hari Dasanam Padatranam Avalambakam. But as far as we are concerned, we are dependent on the footwear of the devotees of Lord Krishna. So, preach the truth. It is Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati who took out the words Yukta Vairagya from the teachings of Srila Rupa Goswami. But before Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, those words Yukta Vairagya were not highlighted. It was just part of his teachings. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati really very, very much strained himself and thought over it. That what does this word Yukta Vairagya mean? And if my father, my Shiksha Guru, has mentioned to me that actually these teachings need to be spread all over the world, then I need to form an institution. And institution means money. Institution means property. Can a sadhu have property? Can a sadhu own a building? Can a sadhu own acres and acres of land? So before Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, it meant, no, how can you think of this? How can you even ask this question? Aren't you renounced? But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, yes, I am owning this property on behalf of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How many of us would have come to this place if it were not for this very comfortable situation? So in this comfortable temple hall, very beautiful temple hall, so many millions of people keep coming, offering obeisances, man manabhav mad bhakto. But to have man manabhav mad bhakto, if we are not on that high platform, we need a facility. So he went deep into this Yukta Vairagya, and it is he who travelled in a motor car to Vrindavan and displayed to the Babaji's wearing simple loincloth and nothing else on their body, but who were proud of their tapasya, who were proud of their Vairagya, that better to be using all the facilities in Krishna's service rather than to be wearing only a simple cloth to cover your private parts, but be proud of your Vairagya, but be proud of your detachment. So very revolutionary, turning everything wrong side up. So was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati a traditionalist? Was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati a modernist? He was asked this question. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, I am neither, I am a Saragrahi. I will do whatever is necessary. So, he is the one who first started this concept of diorama exhibition. At that time, a diorama exhibition was something very costly and would be done only by the Britishers for doing what they wanted to do. But to have nice dioramas having Radha Krishna Leela was first by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. It is he who started the concept of parikrama. Before that, some people on their own would travel. But this organized parikrama, saintly person taking people on parikrama. And especially, it is he who started Gaud Mandala Bhumi Parikrama. At least Vraja Mandal Parikrama was prevalent to some extent in that part. Narayan Bhatta Goswami, he first started this Vraja Mandal Parikrama. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati started the Gaud Mandala Bhumi Parikrama. It is he who started 5 printing presses. And if you see the symbol of the Gaudiya Math, then there is a printing press there, which is, from a very superficial perspective, we don't know what is the printing press doing there. We are saying, no, this is Brihat Mridanga. This is a huge Mridanga. So to have 5 printing, at one point of time in the Bagh Bazar temple, next to the altar, there was a printing press. And usually in deity worship, when the deities are resting, you want to have silence. But a printing press would start in the morning and go on till late night. And, you know, in those days, 80, 90 years back, printing press would make a lot of noise. They are not those digital printing press, you know, like that, open and close. So all that noise would come, and sometimes people would ask, aren't the deities supposed to rest? So baki sab mandiron mein to kaise shanti rehti hai, hai na? Aur aapke mandir mein itna shor kyu kar rakha hai? No, this is kirtan going on. What is kirtan? Kirti. To spread the glories of the Supreme Lord is kirtan. Then that is kirtan going on in the printing press. It's a brihad mridanga. So this kind of concepts of using modern technology to propagate the glories of the Lord was invented by him. We are talking about detecting small faults within Vaishnavism. That is the contribution that we are discussing. So at one point of time he mentions, those who are caretakers of a horse are called Sahisha or horse caretakers. Those who take care of a dog are called Bhangi or dog caretakers. Similarly, those who take care of, those who work on iron are called ironsmith, and those who work on gold are called goldsmith. Similarly, those who work for Krishna are called bhakta. So definition of bhakta is related to working for Krishna, not just to have something inside which is invisible, invisible. One of his statements is, worship of Krishna alone without his devotees tends towards impersonalism. So how is it that, you know, you are accepting the, you know, Govinda Madhi Purusham, Kandarpa Koti Kamani. This is the supremely sweet, attractive, Sarva Akarsheti Iti Krishna form. Somebody is worshipping Krishna. And how can he say that it tends towards impersonalism? Because Krishna is never alone. Krishna is never without his devotees. Lord Brahma did this mistake of testing Krishna. And how did he test? Not by killing any Vrajavasis. Lord Brahma, he separated the Lord from his devotees, and for that one mistake, he was given the most harsh treatment of neglect. Brahmaji kept on offering prayers, and Krishna just kept quiet. He did not speak a single word. Okay, all right, don't do it again. I will not tolerate it. No reply. No reply is the worst reply. And on the other hand, Indra, he caused a severe catastrophe actually. Big, huge crisis there. But because it resulted in all the gopis, the gopas, the animals, the birds and all coming together for 7 days and 7 nights and everyone getting darshan, and everyone was completely satisfied and completely happy. And Krishna saw, because of this person's mischief, all my devotees are completely in bliss, all my devotees are completely unhappy, I'll forgive. So he talked to Indra, don't do this again. I put you in that position, but you became proud, so I did all this to destroy your pride. Now you again sit in that position. So to give him that answer and to put him back in that position after he is trying to kill everyone shows us the heart of Krishna. So the heart of Krishna is in the association of his devotees. So that's why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati mentions, worship of Krishna alone without his devotees tends towards impersonalism, Advaitavad. One time, there is an area called Auli, and the queen of Auli, she came to the Gaudiya Math. And one of the local sannyasis there, he saw that this queen has come, so we should respect her. So he called one brahmachari and gave a very nice, beautiful mango, Mahaprasad, and said, you give this to the queen. And at brahmachari, when he went to deliver that mango to the queen, he saw that the queen is surrounded by many other people also. No queens, but then maybe some other devotees or something. So this brahmachari kept on thinking, if I give this mango Mahaprasad to the queen, But she's not alone. She's surrounded by so many devotees. Isn't it lack of etiquette? Five devotees are sitting and one may be materially very high, but finally, you know, everyone is a Vaishnava in the Gaudiya mutt, sitting in the mutt, in the temple. All of us are equal. So if I give this special mango Mahaprasad only to the queen, isn't it a lack of etiquette that I am giving credence to the material position of that queen rather than to the constitutional position of everyone who's sitting there? So he delayed it. He kept on thinking, should I not? And that this time the sannyasi came and he chastised his brahmachari. I told you to give it to the queen. Why did you not give it to the queen? And when he was chastising, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati overheard it. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati called the sannyasi and asked him this question: are you a sannyasi of the Gaudiya Mutt or are you a sannyasi of Auli? And this brahmachari mentions, from that day onwards, he never heard Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati call that sannyasi by the name. He always called him Auli Rani Sannyasi. So that was a, you know, strong word that don't differentiate between devotees. When he was asked that you speak very pure principles, how many people can practice this purity of pure unmotivated service? So he said that when people learn science, how many people actually go for post-graduation? How many people actually come to the platform of Newton? How many people come to the platform of J.C. Bose, Jagdish Chandra Bose? These are names from that era. So he said, although nobody becomes Jagdish Chandra Bose and nobody comes to the level of Newton and very few people go for post-graduation, we keep teaching science. The hope is one day somebody will go deep into science and take post-graduation. Maybe another Newton will come. Similarly, he said, we need to preach the pure principles of devotional service. One day somebody may accept these principles. The caste Goswamis, they did not like him pointing out that actually it is not the bloodline that is important for giving initiation, but actually it is a preceptorial line, the instruction. Shiksha parampara is important. So sometimes they said, look at him, he keeps writing so many books. And he keeps explaining. There is one instance where, I think it is Madan Mohan Malviya or somebody else, he came to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati had 3 or 4 magazines and he also had a daily newspaper, Nadia Prakash. So he said, how can you publish a daily newspaper? Itna kya hai? Roj. So then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati explained, nearby is Kolkata. Kolkata is one city in India. How many newspapers it has? So sometimes like 5 or 6. Now it must be 30, 40. So 5 or 6 newspapers to cover the mundane aspects. Robbery here, murder there, this thing happened there. You know, all depressing facts and figures. So 5 or 6 newspapers to cover everything that is uninspiring in one city, in one country, in one continent, on one planet, in one universe. So he said, if I have a connection with Lord Krishna, who is the origin of all the universes, planets and everything else, cannot I print a newspaper daily? Actually, if I had more facilities, if I had more paper and more money, I would have printed more. I am being limited not by my knowledge. I am not limited by my vision. I am limited by my money and my resources. So then this person came to know what is the platform at which he is. So seeing this, that he is so busy printing, they said, he is a jnani. If you read Chaitanya Charitamrit, I forget the context, but in one place is where it is description of Raghunath Das Goswami, it is mentioned that Radhakund Babaji's at one point of time, they thought that some of our acharyas like Jeev Goswami, Prabhupada writes this in the purport, that some of our Goswamis like even Roop Goswami, especially Jeev Goswami, they said they are not in the Shuddha Bhakti line because they are writing many books. So when you write many books, basically you are advertising yourself, your own scholarship. It means they are not devotees. Devotees should be humble. Devotees should be always keeping themselves in the background. But this mood of our line, coming right from Brahmaji, who's the origin of all the Vedas, we write books to push Krishna in the center, not to highlight our scholarship. So Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj has a very wonderful definition of humility. He says, humility is not to think less of oneself. To think less of oneself, I'll explain in English, means khud ko kam dekhna. Arey, I am nobody. What am I? I have this, I have this. I have lust, I have anger. So who am I? What am I? I have no existence. This is called thinking less of oneself. So Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj mentions, humility is not to think less of oneself. Humility is to think of oneself less. Morning, I am low. Afternoon, but I am fallen. Evening, I am the most fallen. In between, I am good for nothing. In between lunch, afternoon time and morning time, I am not fit for any service. I am nobody. I am no good. I cannot do any seva. I am useless. I am most fallen. But you basically, the center point is me, 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 me. So it is only Vaishnava Acharyas who catch this simple principle. When you are thinking low of yourself, but basically you have not moved from the center point of yourself. So proud people will keep thinking about yourself. I am great. I am amazing. I am outstanding and all that. And those who are on the other end, they say, I am nothing. I am useless. So beyond these two extremes, Jiva Goswami, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, they are mentioning, speak more about Krishna. Talk more about Krishna. Glorify Krishna more. And write a lot about Krishna, glorifying His entourage. Madhurya Leela, Guna, Rupa, Nam Nam. Let people chant more. Let people read more. Let people understand more. In this way, you become humble. Change the substance. Change the message. The subject matter of your writing and of your speaking. So they put an allegation that actually he is a jnani and he is not humble. And by his vigorous preaching, actually he has caused innumerable offenses to unlimited devotees. So many renounced order devotees, and he is just criticizing the renunciation and saying, but renunciation without attachment to Krishna is not reality. This is preaching. So he is causing unlimited offenses. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati just went on. So the first contribution was to destroy atheism and all misconceptions. The second one was to detect malpractices within Vaishnavism, including Prakrita Sahajism, including Apasampradayas, including Jati Gosais. So many stories come to my mind how he was stoned in Vrindavan, when he took his entourage to the Shad Goswami temples, Radha Madan Mohan temple, Radha Govindji temple, Radha Raman temple, the temple doors were closed and the whole party, the whole group was stoned. Why? Because he is contradicting the Jati Gosai principle. So today, all of us, you know, we are very proudly do Sankirtan and we go to those temples and take darshan. It is only because of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And the last point which Srila Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj mentioned is that he introduced the supremacy of the Raga Marga. So Raga Marga is basically Radha Krishna worship and Vidhi Marga is basically Lakshmi Narayan or even Sita Ram worship and to some extent Rukmini Dwarkadesh worship also. But Raga Marga is Vrindavan. So to establish the superiority of Vrindavan mode of worship, how Vrajavasis loved Krishna, that is the third contribution that he mentioned. So at that time, most people are following Vidhi Marga and there were some who were practicing the Raga Marga. But basically, they were hypocrisy. If you know the story of Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, his spiritual master. So Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, when he left this world, then he mentioned that because I am impure, Uttam Adhikari, because I am impure, my body is impure, so please drag my body in Vraj Bhumi. And let the dust of Vrindavan rise and fall on my body and in this way let me get purified. And actually after his departure, some Babajis, some renounced order people, they actually came there and they said, I am the disciple of Babaji Maharaj, so I get the right to take possession of his divine body. And the mood was, if Babaji Maharaj's body comes to my mutt and I establish a samadhi there, Gaurakishwata Babaji Maharaj was exalted sannyasi, was exalted Babaji, very renounced order. So people will come for darshan. People will come for samadhi darshan. That time they'll put some dakshina. That dakshina will take care of my belly. So first is they were not disciples. Second is they want to do that. Third thing is they actually were ready to drag Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj's body in the dust of Vrindavan. And when this news came to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he came there and he said, none of you are disciples, because if you are disciples, you would have understood the body of the spiritual master cannot be dragged. If you don't have this small understanding, that shows how much you are connected to the spiritual master. And then he said, how many of you in the last 10 days did not have a contact with a woman? Some of them moved back. Well, you can't lie. Yes, when somebody like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is asking, and in the presence of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, you cannot lie. Okay. How many of you did not have any contact with a woman in the last 2 months? They did not have contact in the last 10 days, so they were standing. But in 2 months, so again they went back. Some people were still standing. He said, okay, how many of you did not have a contact with a woman for the last 6 months? Those who were standing, they also let go. So this way or that way, so they are Babaji's. They are highly renounced. But unfortunately, because they don't have the proper understanding, because Abhidheya and Sambandha is not proper, they claim to be on Prayojan, but they are not on Prayojan. It is like a small child who began to walk yesterday is being told to run a marathon. He can run a marathon, but it requires training, it requires time, it requires guidance, it requires inspiration, motivation. So these Babajis, basically, they were imitative Babajis. They were wearing the cloth of Rupa Goswami. They were wearing the cloth of Gaur Kishodas Babaji Maharaj, but they did not follow the principles. So what happened is, some people who saw this hypocrisy, they lost faith in Vaishnavism. So genuine sadhus, if somebody wanted to become a genuine sadhu in the renounced order, he had two options. One is, you become the follower of a false Babaji. Or either you become a Vaishnava Grihastha. So Grihastha Ashram is possible. Some genuine Grihasthas were there, Vaishnavas were there. But renounced order is false Babajis were there. It is only Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati who said, there is a need for genuine renunciation. And that is his contribution. In those days, there was something called as Siddha Pranali. Siddha Pranali means some mantras and Ashtakaliya Smaran. So there are 8 times of the day in which Radha Krishna Leela are mentioned. Afternoon, where do they meet? Afternoon, they meet at Radha Govinda temple. Evening, where do they meet? They meet at Vrindakund. In this way, you know, there is a Smaran Paddhati. That you sit in one place and you are imagining that, you know, you are seeing Radha Krishna at this place. The Nitya Leela. But he said, without a proper understanding, where are these people, you know, doing all this? So he stopped all that. And he emphasized on Shastra as the basis for advancement and not all these, you know, Nitya, Leela, Smaran and Siddha Pranali Mantra and all that. And for this, he was severely criticized by Vaishnavas and they said, actually, he cannot appreciate Braj Ras. Actually, he is a devotee of Vaikuntha. We are giving entrance into Vraj Leela and he is saying Shastra, Shastra, Shastra. Are Shastra se prem thodi hota hai. So they even thought, some people thought he is a Jnani, some people thought that he is a Vaikuntha Ras. He is an Aishwarya Ras, not even Madhurya Ras. But he said, you don't worry about that. Actually, when false Babajis are propagating false philosophies and there is hypocrisy being increased, that is gross envy of Krishna. Krishna is supposed to enjoy with Radharani in Ras Leela. And these foolish people who don't even have their senses controlled, they are talking of Radha Krishna Leela. This is not proper. So he said, non-bona fide people talking of Radha Krishna Leela is gross envy of Krishna. Whereas they are thinking, we are the real devotees of Krishna. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati is of Vaikuntha Ras, lower Ras. But he went on. And he emphasized the philosophical approach to bhakti rather than the emotional approach to bhakti. So in English, there is a word called affection. Affection becomes, in an adjective form, it becomes affective. So affective means emotional. So the typical sadhus in Vrindavan, if you meet them, and if you are not really grounded in our Guru Shishya Parampara, they talk very emotionally. Radhe, Krishna. And it sounds very attractive to newcomers. So many times I have seen, when some new people come for our Kartik Yatra, and sometimes, you know, there's always somebody who meets you on the way and they talk very sweetly and it seems that our ISKCON preachers do not have that kind of an affective approach. They do not always talk about sentiments. We always talk about what is mentioned in the Gita, what is Krishna saying in the Bhagavatam, what is Uddhava Gita, what is Bhagavad Gita, what is Dhruva Maharaj's lessons, what is Ambarish Maharaj's mood. And we focus so much on Shastra. So they said, hey, look, Shastra mein kyun ghoomte rehte hain? Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati had this approach, no? Let us emphasize on Vaidhi Bhakti. Let us emphasize on the philosophical approach. In this way, it will be a safe road to Raga Marga. So Srila Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj is saying, these are the 3 contributions of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. First is he destroyed all the misconceptions. Apasiddhanta Dvanta Harine. He purified more and more even Vaishnavism and detected the small malpractices that were going on. And almost like a bulldozer, you know, he just went straight. He did not think about what people were saying. In this way, he invited a lot of enemies also. There were so many life attempts. So around 1920s, that is like 100 years back almost, there was a bribe given to the police officer of 25,000 rupees. How much will it be? Anavindan Prabhu is from finance. 25,000 rupees in 1920 is how much today? So he's saying, the authority is saying 100 crore rupees. This much bribe was given to the local police station in charge, but his police station in charge felt, I have accepted bribes and I have done wrong things, but not for a genuine sadhu. So he came to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and said, some people are plotting to kill you and have already given me a bribe, and said that don't register a case and just push it down. I will do it thousands of times, but not for you. So I am warning you, please be careful. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, I cannot stop speaking, causing a revolution, speaking the truth. And the third one was that he emphasized the raga marga, but not in a affective approach, but in a philosophical approach. In this way, keeping all of us on the raga marga, but always fenced by proper understanding, shastric understanding. So in this way, we are very grateful to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. One sentence that he mentioned to A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, our Srila Prabhupada, he mentioned, if you ever get money, print books. That one sentence has caused a revolution. Today we are celebrating this Gita Jayanti book marathon. Crores and crores of books are being distributed. And was Gita Jayanti a festival before some 5 or 10 years? I don't remember. And now when I see the calendar, Kala Nirnaya, I saw, there is written Gita Jayanti. I never knew it. I never celebrated it. Nobody ever celebrated it. It is only Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. If you ever get money, print books. So then Prabhupada is following Saraswat. He's printing books, 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 and the Gita. So now Gita Jayanti seems to be like a public festival. Even outside ISKCON, people know Gita Jayanti karke kuch rehta hai. I never knew Gita Jayanti before coming to ISKCON. So that one sentence he spoke is now today coming to a situation where everyone is aware of Gita Jayanti, everyone. You know, small kids, Gita lijiye. Iske paas itna confidence kahan se aaya? But that is coming from that Acharya. So Srila Prabhupada, he spoke about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He lives by his instructions and a sincere follower lives with him. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is still living in the form of his instructions and a sincere follower lives with him. So thank you so much. Jai Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada ki jai. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So all of us can pray to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati to follow these principles which he gave to us and which has caused a revolution in the impious lives of the misdirected civilization. Thank you so much. Jai Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Anant Koti Vaishnavrinda ki jai, Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.